Call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everyone. Thank you so much. It's a beautiful day, maybe not outside, but inside here on WNRN. We got people everywhere. We have guests. We have co-hosts. We have people answering the phones. We have studio madmen. We have station mad women. So bring it on, boys and girls. Thanks to everybody who pledged for Rusty, WNRN, and Bluegrass Sunday Morning. Hopefully a few of you saved just a little bit for the wake-up call here on WNRN. We appreciate everything you do for us. Whether you're listening, whether you're pledging, it's all important. A special thanks to those in Crozet's 101.1 and the Valley 101.1. It's important. We are going to be accepting your donations, your pledges, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. A little later in the hour, as we move along, just a few minutes away, we will have Khaki Dimmick here with us. Say hi, Khaki.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Khaki, the executive director at The Haven. We'll be talking about, I like to always invite folks from another nonprofit organization because that's what WNRN is. The Wake Up Call always puts forth the effort to talk about different topics, special topics, those that don't get enough attention, some of those that are very exciting and bring forth a lot of pro-con conversation. But people need to know a little bit more about other organizations in our community, and that's why Khaki's here today to talk about The Haven and homelessness. We also have Ren Hinchy here.
Hi.
Ren has helped me the last several fund drives, and I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from having Ren with me. It's especially entertaining to hear. How old are you, Ren?
Eight.
So the thought process of an eight-year-old, he's been here, I think his first visit was when he was six, seven and eight, to talk about recordings for the blind and dyslexic, Meals on Wheels, Charlottesville Albemarle Rescue Squad. And to hear the thought process from an elementary school student on those and their questions. So dial us up, 979-0919, for your pledge to WNRN, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. You can also go online and do a lot of this yourself while you're listening to the program at WNRN.org. Go online. It's pretty easy to follow the signs on where to go. And we appreciate that. One of the other things that we're going to do throughout the hour today is I found some of my favorites, little favorite bits and pieces of shows earlier in the year, or since the most recent fund drive back in the fall, that I'm going to play for you so you can get a sense of exactly what we do here. One of my most favorite pieces for the last 6 months, Dr. Mort Castle was here back in December of last year. Dr. Castle, 99 years old, and I met him just, I guess, the day on his birthday of turning 99. Found him to be a fascinating person, asked him to be a guest on the program, and we had a really wonderful hour. Listen to this. The way the world has changed the most, or a couple things that have changed the most during your 99-year lifetime?
The attitude towards our neighboring countries. Canada and Mexico were considered foreign countries instead of, as of today, with globalization, we realize they're actually only neighbors and not foreign countries. Particularly Canada. Canada has become almost a brother to us. as far as economics and society is concerned. Mexico is only a little step behind insofar as those two attitudes are concerned. I first visited Mexico in 1953, on my honeymoon. My wife and I decided to travel by car from New York City to Acapulco. There was such a radical change between society and environs once you cross the border. We entered Mexico at that time in Brownsville, Texas. And it was an eye-opener to see the difference that just a mile made between the two countries. But, of course, we could quickly acclimated ourselves to the changed environment societally, and we traveled down without any feeling of strangeness, although it was strange to us as far as hotels are concerned, as far as the environs are concerned, but we were happy to have arrived safely without any difficulty in Acapulco.
Bonnie from Sismont wants to know what life was like in Huntington. And I'll give you a few one at a time. Did your pharmacy deliver?
Yes, it did.
Did they deliver by horseback or buggy?
Believe it or not, we had automobiles in those days.
How was your house warmed? With coal or some other way?
Originally with coal, and for the first, I'd say, 8 or 9 years, and then my father had it switched over to oil.
And what did you eat for breakfast?
Believe it or not, they were almost the same as I am now. Orange juice, dry cereal and milk, and, of course, in those days, cocoa, but I was too young to have coffee.
Did you have microwavable French toast?
There was no microwave.
Oh, damn it. See, that's one of the reasons I don't want to go back that far.
But we did have toasters.
Dr. Castle, as someone with being a doctor, what are some of the most exciting changes and growth you've seen in that field?
The thing that pops into my mind first and foremost is the use of intravenous fluids as a fluid itself.
People don't even think about that anymore. Oh, give him an IV. It's really not much more than a Gatorade now.
That is true. When I first started interning, an intravenous infusion was considered almost like major surgery. But as you know, as Rick has just mentioned, it has become almost as ubiquitous as Gatorade.
Give me one more exciting growth in medical uses from when you started or your early life till now.
Most of course, in surgery. Who would ever have thought when I started medicine that we would be doing heart transplants, lung transplants, kidney transplants, liver transplants? It also has become ubiquitous, and successfully so.
And again, that's one of my favorite pieces from the last 6 months. Dr. Mort Castle, 99 years old, and he visited us back in December. It's one of the things that we like to do here on WNRN on the Wake Up Call is to do topics that are informational, whether they're organizations and groups, people, or they're just entertaining. I found Dr. Castle to be hilarious, educational, and hopefully if you didn't get to hear it, you can find it on charlottesvillepodcast.com. Go back to the December program. Call us up. 979-0919 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Go online to the WNRN.org site and make your own pledge. Let me take a quick minute and thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for allowing us to be here today. Support for WNRN comes from Blue Ridge Mountain Sports, presenting the Spring Gear Swap Saturday and Sunday, April 7th and 8th. You can sell your used gear to earn credit towards new purchases and find offers on gently used gear and apparel. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is at Barracks Road in Charlottesville. They have 3 locations in Richmond. For more store information online, it's BRMS.com. www.thebrownstone.com. All right, let's get started talking with Khaki Demick from The Haven. Khaki, let's never assume that everybody knows, especially now that WRN goes to Harrisonburg and Lexington and Richmond. The Haven, a little more explanation on exactly what that is.
The Haven is a day shelter for the homeless in Central Virginia. We opened in January of 2010, and we serve about 85 people every day, with sometimes highs of 125, 130 if the weather is particularly hairy outside. But the Haven is much more than a day shelter. The Haven is serves as a soft landing for people in trouble, and the Haven provides access to services in this community. And the Haven is a place where people experiencing really tremendously extreme stress and, to a large extent, community isolation and rejection can be seen and acknowledged and recognized for their strengths and their successes and have their hopes and dreams encouraged. Ultimately, we provide respite services for the weary and transformation for the ready. So we provide basic services like showers and laundry and computer access and storage and those kinds of things. But we also provide authentic, genuine relationships with people who generally don't have a lot of those.
Now, people can go online and find The Haven. Again, what's the website?
www.thehaven.org.
All right, and so that's where Ren and I did a lot of our homework for the show today, and so Ren has some of his own questions. Ren?
Where do the homeless go at night if the Haven is only open during the day?
That's a great question. It's different depending on the time of year. In the winter months, there are more shelter beds, emergency shelter beds available than in the summer months. We have 58 shelter beds that are provided by the Salvation Army year round. And so we can always count on those beds being available for the homeless. We also have up to 70 shelter beds that are available through PACHM, which is People and Congregations Engaged in Ministry, which is a really wonderful local program that uses the hospitality of churches to serve as a seasonal emergency overnight shelter between the months generally of late October to early April. So in January, most homeless folks can find a safe place to spend the night inside. And in June, that's not so true. So we do have a lot of homeless folks who are living in tents, sleeping in sleeping bags, some folks who are sleeping in abandoned buildings, particularly in more rural communities. And then we have people who just walk around to stay up all night and then sleep inside in the available places, including the Haven, during the day.
Again, this is WNRN's Sunday morning wake-up call. It is fundraising time. This is the spring fund drive. Please call us up and make your pledge to the station and the program. 979-0919 1-877 WNRN Rocks. You can go online and make your pledge as well, WNRN.org, and work your way quite easily through the steps to do this online. Our guest today is Khaki Demick. She's the executive director of The Haven here in Charlottesville. It's not just I keep wanting to call it a place, but it's more than that. As you said earlier, you provide so many more things, relationships and storage area. Is it a home place for the homeless?
It can be, yes, absolutely. We encourage our guests. First of all, we call them guests, not clients. We create what we think are authentic, genuine relationships with them, which means that we care for them, both personally and professionally. And we encourage them to have a sense of ownership and over the space. It's a very large living room, a very large dining room, a sunroom, and then showers, laundry services. We have a pretty big kitchen. We serve a breakfast every day, and we encourage our guests to feel like that is their space, to assume some ownership and responsibility over it, and then to exercise some leadership while they're in the space. If you kind of know the ropes and someone is newly homeless, we have an expectation that you'll help somebody else figure out how to get their needs met, where the soup kitchens are, help somebody find their way to the Tuesday soup kitchen when they've never been to a public meal before. And I think we've done a pretty good job arranging that. It feels like a warm a hopeful place, which is, I think, something that's a surprise for most people who come visit.
I also have my 8-year-old nephew here, Ren, participating in the interview. But, you know, it was pointed out to me when I was asking, trying to come up with a nonprofit organization to bring here today for the co-guest, you know, two-person interview. And I said something about the Haven, and immediately the first person I mentioned this to said, oh, I don't know that that's a good idea. That's, you know, too many people just don't agree with that. It's not going to be what you want. Why would that be? Why would people disagree with the steps of the Haven to, and I'm assuming the number one step is to reduce homelessness in its entirety?
Absolutely. It's we have become a hot button issue, particularly in the downtown area. I think that it's multi-layered. There is a strong belief and assumption from many folks that opening a place like the Haven up is a way to attract homeless people in need to our community, as opposed to serving the people who are already here. Most of the data that's national long-term data and certainly reflected in our local data shows that that's not true. In fact, the homeless population in our region is much more native than the general population. Most of these folks declare a hometown in Albemarle or Charlottesville. So these are our friends and neighbors. They've been here all along. But I think for a lot of people, that feels like a real threat, that you're going to create a service that is comfortable and hopeful and good, and that will somehow attract people from far away to come and get services. I've heard all kinds of rumors in the community, including a rumor that I have a bus and then I drive around into Washington, D.C. and throughout the state to pick up homeless people to bring them to Charlottesville, which is, let me be very clear, not true. I don't have a bus.
I could barely catch up with you. I figured you had so much to do. 11:18 on the wake-up call. This is our fund drive, spring fund drive. Please call in with your pledge, 979-0919. 877-WNRN Rocks. There are a lot of premiums as thank yous for making your pledge that are available. The folks who are answering the phone today, I'm certain, will be glad to help you. There's gift certificates to restaurants. I know that there's one for the Clifton Inn out there, always popular. And then there are folks who don't care. I got a pledge from Irene Bullock, who, if I remember correctly, Irene always says, go Bull Islanders, because she's at some point lived her time in Pocosin. So thank you, Irene, for your pledge to the wake-up call. It's nice to see those names who return every 6 months in my hands to thank them on air. Let me take a moment and tell you that I also have a couple things that aren't out on the table for the folks to look through. If you're interested in a pledge, you know, Lee Channing visits us regularly, our local intuitive analyst or psychic, as many people like to call the phones, always go crazy when she's here. And she has given me, just for this show, if you would like it, a 1-hour gift certificate. Call up and make your pledge of $100, and you can have the 1-hour session with Lee Channing. I have a gift card from the Bel Air Market that you can have for a pledge as well. So again, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks. Khaki Demick is here in the studio with us as we do a little bit of this, a little bit of that, some time with Khaki, some time talking about the fundraiser. Thank you so much. Ren Hinchy with me today.
Hey.
My 8-year-old nephew. It is 11:20 on the wake-up call. The markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley, mostly cloudy, showers and thunderstorms today, highs about 72. Showers tonight, lows in the mid-40s, mid-50s in Richmond, mostly sunny and windy tomorrow, highs in the mid-60s, a little warmer in Richmond and Lynchburg. Right now, light rain in the valley, 52, 56 in Lynchburg, 58 in Richmond, 53 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And thank you for being with us. Let me take a moment and thank you for listening to WNRN Spring Fund Drive. We come to you twice a year asking for your support. please show your appreciation for WNRN by making a donation at 434-979-0919. You can go onto the website, WNRN.org. Phone volunteers can help you find the CD or gift certificate or concert tickets that you are interested in. You can also check out at WNRN.org. See the new T-shirts, which are pretty cool. Stickers, cooler bags, pint glasses, always my favorite. Everyone who donates or calls is entered to win 21 different grand prizes, including a two-night weekend stay at the Hampton Inn and Suites here at University, a pair of golden tickets to Countrywide Record CD release shows, a $100 gift certificate to Ragged Mountain Running Shop, a table for four in the Mob Jack Lounge at Blue Ridge Oyster Festival, unlimited steamed oysters for your table on April 21st. And all who donate at least $100 get the WNRN member card with two-for-one dining offers at over 200 restaurants in Virginia. The full list of offers is at WNRN.org. Please show your support. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, or WNRN.org. I also need to thank Dixon Disposal. They're here with me every Sunday. When Dixon picks up your trash, they sort and separate it for recycling. Dixon also offers single-stream recycling during regular pickup. You can help the planet stay green with curbside service from Dixon Disposal at your home or business. For more information, it's DixonDisposal.com or 434-978-2111. Bryn, you had a question for Khaki?
Is there only one location in Charlottesville?
Haven is there's only one Haven, and it's in downtown Charlottesville. It's right off Market Street. It's the only day shelter in this community. It's the only day shelter in the five-county region where we live. Just one.
Is everyone you help a grown-up?
No, actually, we have a number of families, and we have a number of younger adults who come to the Haven for services. Most of the folks who come to the Haven are adults. They're older than 18, but many of them have kids with them, small kids. Right now, we have several babies, which are making our volunteers really happy because they're delighted to hold these little tiny little babies in their arms and give the moms a little bit of a break. But for the most part, the Haven serves single adults or an adult with one child. Homeless families tend to be invisible in our community, so they're generally not getting services at the traditional places like the Haven or Salvation Army or Pacham or even the soup kitchens. While there are some that get served in all of those places, for the most part, families end up living in someone's backyard or in someone's garage or in a camper or doubled up, tripled up. And so they tend not to be as visible as homeless individual adults. But homeless families are the fastest growing population of the subpopulation of the homeless group. And so it's really important that we start to pay attention to their needs.
Khaki, again, you can go to thehaven.org. You can go to that right after you go to WNRN.org and make your pledge. But you can go to thehaven.org. So I'm there doing my homework again, and you have a garden. I understand why you would have showers and a laundry, computers for people to use. You offer food during the day. Why in the world would you have a garden?
Well, we think that having a garden is an intervention all by itself. The idea of keeping yourself busy by tending and growing things, I think, is just good therapy for all of us, volunteers, guests, and staff included. We also have a really strong focus on providing a healthy environment. And so for us, this idea of a healthy environment includes trying to cultivate as much local, organic, non-messed around with food as possible, and providing a breakfast that has really got a good, powerful nutritional punch as opposed to being just about sort of caloric volume. So we grow things in our garden that we eat at breakfast. So we grow lots of eggs and potatoes, and we had blackberries like you wouldn't believe last year, bushels and bushels of them. So we had smoothies with homemade yogurt like most mornings in July. It was pretty cool. And we ask that we ask that all of our community participate in the growing of that thing. And so we think that by itself is good juju, and it contributes to really good food for breakfast, too.
All right, so you're serving breakfast, but Ren had a follow-up question on that.
Where do they eat for lunch and dinner?
And I think by they, he means your guests.
Yes, I got that. So our guests, most of them go to the soup kitchens that are managed by a collective of churches in the downtown area called Loaves and Fishes. And they have been serving a really fantastic soup kitchen lunch on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday for really a very long time, longer than the Haven's been open, certainly, and longer than Pacham's been open. So we didn't want to mess around with that. They do a great job, and we were grateful for that. For dinner, when Pacham's season is operational, the guests of Pacham eat dinner at the local hosting church, and then Salvation Army provides public dinners as well. So there are actually lots of really great places to get public meals in this town.
All right. Again, this is Khaki Dimmick from The Haven here in Charlottesville. Co-host today, Ren Hinchy, my 8-year-old nephew, learning a little bit about homelessness and its needs. Dial us up with your pledge, please, 979-0919. 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Go online, do it yourself, be a DIY at WNRN.org. The Bluegrass folks just getting their stuff together because so much happening during the last... How long are you here, Rusty?
How long was I here?
Well, yeah, on a regular Sunday. Aren't you here like 4 hours? You start your program before I get up on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, I'm here around 5 a.m. and to prepare, and then I'm on 7 to 11. So.
And you're here... You made some promises during the last little bit. Let's finish up the Bluegrass pledging.
Thanks for letting us interrupt, but I had another big rash of phone calls there after Bluegrass went off the air, and we did our grand prize drawing for the 3-day Graves Festival, 4-2 this is, and our winner happens to be Mark Schutt from Appomattox, Virginia. He made a pledge and did not take any premiums, and now he ends up with the best premium of all. It's a 3-day pass for two to the Graves Festival, May 31st through June the 2nd. So congratulations, Mark, and thanks again everyone who called in. I'm sure we're going to have some more Graves tickets coming up in May, so do stay tuned to Bluegrass Sunday Morning and keep those phones lit up and help Rick Moore out as well.
Are you going to the to that Blues Festival? Can people walk up and say, hey, Rusty Sombrero, listen to you every Sunday?
Yeah, I'll be helping with the MC duties again at the Graves Festival, so I really look forward to seeing you guys there. But again, Mark Schutt from Appomattox, our grand prize winner for the Graves Festival. And again, thanks to everyone for supporting WNRN.
Thanks, Rusty. You're welcome to call in now for the wake-up call, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Let's get Mark Smith busy out there. I answered phones for him during the Grateful Dead show yesterday, and I wore my fingers out and had homework. And when we finished entering information, keep the man going. Again, Khaki Dimmick here from The Haven. Khaki, I want to talk a minute about education because I have one of my other favorite pieces here that I'm going to play in just a moment is about adult education. What does The Haven do in that sense for helping folks?
Well, we have a number of connections to adult education, both through Albemarle Public Schools, Charlottesville Public Schools, and PVCC. And I will say that all three bend over backwards to be as flexible as possible for our guests to enroll in GED prep classes, GED classes, even some college-level classes. And a number of our folks get engaged in training programs like culinary arts programming, that kind of thing, certificate-based programs. And I just think this community has been really super helpful and flexible to make sure that our very poor and extremely poor community members get engaged in as much educational opportunities as possible. There's a number of volunteers actually from UVA who help folks prepare for GEDs who are getting ready to take the test. We've had a number of guests last year in the summer when we did our last count. We had 8 guests who were enrolled at PVCC during their time with The Haven, and we had several guests who passed the GED last summer. So I think it's really critical. It's one of the, we all know that education is one of those really important steps to getting us a stable job. job, and a job is the stability you need to get a house or an apartment, and that's the kind of stability you need to then grow and feel safe in your life. And so I think education is a really critical point, and we try to help folks as much as we can. I will say that there's a number of guests who are not ready for that kind of first step, but we help wherever people are when they come to the Haven.
And Wake Up Call did a program earlier this year, back in January. I had Kelly Sokol from the Albemarle County GED program, Valerie Falamontaine from PVCC's Workforce Services, and they brought along several graduates of their various programs. So let's take a minute and listen to that. The challenges of not having a high school diploma, I think many people understand that, although I want you to talk about that for a moment. But is there a challenge that goes along with having a GED degree? Is there a stereotype that goes along with that?
I think there's more, you know, there's a stereotype with being a high school dropout, that you are uneducated. And that's not necessarily the case. You know, there's so many people that never finished high school that are, you know, incredibly productive members of society and own their own businesses, are pastors in their community. And so I think people think that getting your GED is easy. So, you know, oh, I didn't finish high school, I'm just going to go back and get my GED. And they think it's going to be an incredibly easy process. And it's not. 40% of high school graduates cannot pass the GED. So one of the challenges with the GED is that people have this perception that it's a very easy exam to take and you can just breeze in and breeze out, when in reality, a lot of times, because it is inclusive of so many different subject areas all at once, you know, you need to study for it and practice, and it's a challenging exam. But I do think 98% of employers see the GED as equivalent to a high school diploma. You know, if you look at job applications, have you graduated high school? If you have your GED, you click yes. So it doesn't affect people who have a GED versus a traditional high school diploma as much as people might think.
All right. I want to put a little, a voice, not a face. Let's put a voice on the GED. We do have a guest in the studio today who did not finish the traditional high school at the regular time, but has gone back and completed a GED program. Bachelor number one, can you tell me a little bit about the decisions that were made? What happened in your life so that you didn't finish high school?
It kind of interfered with my outside life. You know, that was more important than going to parties and chasing girls and stuff like that. And next thing you know, it's all done. It's gone, you know. And next thing you know, the years start rolling by and you got to start making a decision on what you want to do. And
was this Albemarle at the time?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Western Albemarle.
And what happened in your life that made you say, you know what, I guess I need to go back and get my GED?
I think mostly for me was, well, I mean, it's so many different reasons. First of all, you know, you got children and you don't want them to know. You know, you don't want your kids to know you're a high school dropout. And, I mean, of course, it affects your job, you know, job stature and everything, too. I was pretty lucky in the aspect that, you know, I had a decent job, but when the bottom fell out, you know, you got to start over, you know. I mean, and if either you lie on your application, and if they find that out, you'll never get that job. Either that, you know, so you got to go back and do something. You know, something has to be done.
Can I ask how old you are now?
35.
And how old were you when you went back to get your GED?
35.
So this is a recent process for you?
Yes. Yes.
So we're talking about, I don't know, 17 years.
17 years later, and like Ms. Kelly said, it's not easy. It's not an easy process. But if you're willing to do it and you want to do it, I mean, it's something that, you know, it makes you feel a lot better about yourself to know that when that question does pop up on a application, you don't have to lie about it no more. You know, it's the big secret won't ever come out because there is no secret no more. I just did what I needed to do.
11:35 on the Wake Up Call. That's a piece from one of my favorite programs that we did back in January, talking about adult education. Khaki Dimmock here from The Haven. Khaki, how has the clientele at The Haven changed, or has it changed, with the current job economy that's been going on the last few years?
Well, I think that the data that we collect, we do an annual homeless census, and we've done it every year for the last, 15 years. We don't actually see a dramatic increase in the number of folks experiencing homelessness over the last 3 years, for example, with the current economic crisis. But what we do see is that the people experiencing homelessness are experiencing it for longer periods of time, or have more complex problems, like they need three or four kinds of things in order for them to get out of homelessness or to find some stability. We also have pretty significant reduction in the number of people who are employed and homeless. 4 years ago, for example, was almost 52% of the people we found who were homeless in January during our annual census actually had a job. And then it went down to 38%, and then it went down to 23%. And my guess is this year, while we're still analyzing the data, I'm going to guess that we're going to find less than 20% of the homeless population are actually working in any capacity. So that while the number of people who are experiencing homelessness hasn't changed dramatically, certainly the number of people who are homeless and working has changed.
We'd love to hear from you for your pledge today, 979-0919, or go online at WNRN.org. That's Khaki Dimmock from Charlottesville's Haven, helping the homeless. Ran Henchy, say hi.
Hi.
My 8-year-old nephew still working on his radio skills, of course, as am I. Let me take a moment and thank The Backyard, UVA Corner's Culinary Secret at the end of Elliewood Avenue, for their support today. The Backyard has a seasonal menu open for lunch and dinner, daily specials, and a rotating list of beers on tap. Backyard is now open on Sundays, serving brunch, and then a pub food menu until close. You can call ahead for takeout at 434-202-8215. You can also find The Backyard on Facebook. Khaki, a quick question we had from someone on a phone. Do you allow dogs at The Haven?
No, we don't. We actually have recently discovered or decided that we're probably going to ask that there are no dogs on the property at all. We haven't actually issued that rule yet, but we've never had dogs allowed in The Haven. A number of homeless folks do have dogs. Dogs are good company for people who are really community isolated, and dogs are often a source of protection if you're sleeping in the woods, so it's not surprising that a number of homeless folks would have dogs. Also, having dogs, a lot of those folks had dogs before they became homeless, and so they're still taking care of those dogs who they consider their friends now that they're not living in a stable situation. But the number of dogs in our front yard has really become a challenge for us. Many of the dogs are barking, and even though we've asked for our guests not to leave those dogs unattended, that does happen. We try to address it as soon as possible, but it's increasingly making us uncomfortable that we can't provide a safe outside environment for our guests. So we're actually really strongly considering making a rule that there's no dogs allowed on the property at all.
All right. We need to finish up with Khaki. Ren, you had a question.
The Haven offers storage, but what do people store?
That's a great question. So most people assume that the folks who are homeless don't have a lot of stuff, and you're right. The process of becoming homeless sort of forces you to get rid of a lot of your stuff. But people do have important papers, and people have winter boots and summer shoes and winter coats. And often without storage, people just have to get rid of it at the end of the winter. They're not going to carry it around for the summer, and then they find themselves the next fall cold and looking for a coat. And so we provide at least a fairly large, I think it's probably a 70-gallon bin that people can keep their stuff in. We have 72 of these bins. So people keep clothes in there. People keep the last few precious things that they kept when they left their house, important papers, IDs, that kind of thing in them. But most importantly, it's shoes and winter coats.
Khaki, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Please pledge to WNRN.
Thank you. Ren?
Hi.
I was hoping you'd say goodbye to Khaki.
Bye, Ren.
Goodbye.
All right. Thank you. I think we all need to support those important organizations in our area, such as The Haven and what Khaki does. Today, though, I'm asking you to look at WNRN and the wake-up call about what we do. Everybody gets their time. We ask for a couple weeks out of your year to focus on us. Let me take this time at 11:41 and do this.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
And this week, after serving 12 years behind bars for a murder he may not have committed, Michael Hash is released on bond, while law enforcement officials who pushed for his conviction may face possible charges of their own. To buy or rent, that's the question. In a soft real estate market, The Hook takes a look at which is the right choice for you. And meet the winners of The Hook's annual fiction contest. The Hook, it's a grand reopening every Thursday. And Blue Ridge Graphics, they're here on WNRN every week as well. Blue Ridge Graphics can be found at Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom T-shirts and sportswear plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, online, brgtshirts.com. A couple pledges came in. An anonymous pledge for someone who I believe is taking advantage of what I consider to be the best premium out there. If you pledge $100 to WNRN for the wake-up call, I will help you put together the show for the topic of your choice. Everyone has their own topic that is important to them, their organization, their conversation, and we can make it happen. I will help you put it together so that it's important to everyone in the community who hear about it. For a $100 pledge, 979-0919 or WNRN.org. So thanks to that anonymous pledger. I think I had one here from my mom as well. I don't know. Maybe she's on the, she might be on the golf course, but say hi to Grandma.
Hi, Grandma. Grandmama.
So thanks to you for your pledge, Grandma. I got a couple more pieces here that I want to make sure to fit into the hour. Some of my favorites from the previous 6 months. But just before I play one, Ren, while Khaki's still sitting in the chair, did you learn anything today about homeless?
I did. I learned that lots of people don't have homes, and it's important to keep homes for them and make them feel safe. That's what I learned.
All right. Thanks, Khaki. You're already helping the 8-year-olds.
Awesome.
All right. Again, one of the things, one of my favorite bits that we do every year, Santa visits us the Sunday before Christmas every year and calls a few people. Listen to this.
Hello, this is Gabby the Elf. I have Santa Claus here, looking for Clay and Gray.
I'm Gray.
Oh, Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas.
Oh, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Oh, we're busy, busy, busy! But we're checking our list, and I see that you're in the middle. You have both naughty and nice checked by your name. Is that true?
I don't know. No.
Is your brother doing that?
No, my brother's been nice.
Oh, all right. Well, good. I'll break out the eraser. We'll fix that. What can we bring you for Christmas?
I really want a bunny, but I don't know if my mom would let me have one.
Well, I can't make any promises. I'll have to call her later tonight.
Yay!
Well, I have a request from you. Can you leave me some cookies tonight?
Yes.
We need cookies, and I don't like milk anymore. I need some orange juice.
Okay.
How about your brother? Is he there?
No, yes, yes, yes. Hi.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Oh, what can we bring you on next Sunday?
Well, I kind of want a gerbil, but my mom also won't really let me get a gerbil.
No, no animals in the sled. That's dangerous. It gets really cold out there. What else can we get you?
A PS3.
Oh, that might be something we can work out. Gabby, what do you think?
I might suggest an Xbox.
Oh, PS3. All right. I'll see what we can do, Clay.
Well, my friend Grayson, he like an airsoft gun, too.
Ooh, an airsoft gun.
If the bunny doesn't work out.
If the bunny doesn't work out.
Oh, well, I think we could work those things out.
Love you, Sarah.
All right. We got to move on. Time to go. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Don't forget my cookies. Calling Jacob. Hopefully Jacob is home.
Hello?
Hello, this is Gabby the Elf. I have Santa Claus here and he'd like to talk to Jacob.
Jacob? Is this Jacob?
Yes?
Jacob in Elkton? Well, how are you today, sir?
Good.
Merry Christmas! Well, almost Merry Christmas. You still have 1 week to go. Can you make it for one more week?
Yes.
Now, is it the truth I heard that some of the other kids at Riverbend Elementary were trying to tell you I wasn't still around? Is that true?
Yes.
Now, we all know that's not true, don't we?
Yep.
What can we bring you? Gabby's got the boys and girls loading the sleigh. What can we put on there for you?
I might want video games.
Video games? Well, we have a few, but that doesn't get you outside. How about something outside? Hey, Gabby, do we have any more dirt bikes out there?
I think we do.
Oh, how about that, Jacob? How about that dirt bike you've always wanted?
Yes.
All right. We're going to see if we can put one together for you. Now, you be good. It's another whole week, okay?
Okay.
All right, Jacob. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
All right. Bye-bye. Always one of my favorite times is when Santa comes to visit. 11:49 on the wake-up call. We'd love to hear from you for your pledge, whether it's because you like when Santa visits and you get to listen to that. Some of our other programs that we've done, we haven't necessarily played a piece from. Again, we mentioned Lee Channing. I do have a gift certificate available for a 1 hour with Lee Channing. Only available for the next 11 minutes. It's only for a wake-up call, 434-979-0919. Call us up. We talked politics with Professor Sidney Milkus, but we talked about the history of politics, not necessarily what's going to happen tomorrow in politics. We had some independent filmmakers on. We talked about bullying earlier this year. Special needs children. Yesterday when I was answering the phone, for the Grateful Dead show, someone who made a pledge wanted to make sure and thank me because she was involved in that genre of kids who had special educational needs. Some of the things that we'll have coming up in the next few months, we're talking about privacy in the modern age. Next Sunday, I think we're going to do a program on buying local and the pros and the possible cons of that. We'll have our other two local school superintendents on, Dr. Rosa Atkins and Dr. Pam Moran. We're going to be talking about the importance of arts in the school system. So please call us up, 979-0919. I also want to make sure and take a moment and thank Louise Finger in honor of Khaki at the Haven. Khaki.
Thanks, Louise.
So don't forget, you can also make your pledge and do your own program selection. I'll be glad to work with you. $100 pledge, we'll get that for you. Ren, you raised your hand, question or comment?
I told my she might not be watching or hearing, not watching. I hope she's listening to me. So if she's listening, I'm giving a big shout out to Miss Kosis, my teacher.
Well, thank you. Hopefully she's listening. We'd love to hear a pledge from you in honor of Ren Henshi. You can also make a... I have multiple people asking me about Lazarus, my dog who had a serious surgery a week ago. We're doing well. Again, thanks to Dr. Donnie Peppert at Georgetown Veterinary Clinic. Lazarus is doing well. Please make your pledge in honor of Lazarus for still being here. He visits the station regularly with me. A little too much going on today for him to be here. He's still recovering. Let me take a moment and tell everybody about the Spring Fun Drive. We've heard from 581 new and returning members out of the goal of 1,300. Please bring it on, folks. Please give us a call and make your pledge to become a member of WNRN. Everyone who donates at least $20 gets a WNRN sticker and the benefits of being a WNRN member, like add-ons for contests and things. If we haven't heard from you yet, please call us. 434-979-0919, or head to WNRN.org and become a part of community radio here at WNRN. 1152, let me remind you, you are listening to WNRN and WNRSM, Sweetberg and Amherst Lynchburg. Sorry, I messed that all up. WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS-FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. So much going on here in the studio. Ren raising his hand. Quick question, comment.
Another big shout out to my friend Blake.
Well, these folks better be calling in. If they're going to get shout outs, we only do shout outs on fundraiser time. You can't do a shout out unless you call in your pledge. You can't make a song request unless you are making a pledge. That's what we're asking for, is you to identify the importance of what we're doing. It is community radio, but it's also, if you want to participate by hearing your name, by getting your request, by discussing your topic, you can't do that if you're not participating in helping us be here every Sunday, every morning for Acoustic Sunrise, every Saturday for our Grateful Dead and Friends. Please participate with us that way, 434-979-0919. Again, the Lee Channing gift certificate is here. You can make your $100 pledge and ask for the show topic to be worked out. I will help you. We will make it work so it's interesting and available to the community in general. I got one more piece I want to play here, 1154 in the wake-up call. We had some folks from the University of Virginia's Innocence Project, the UVA chapter. And what they do, Professors Deirdre Enright and Matthew Engel were here. Their group is dedicated to, they investigate potential wrongful convictions and incarcerated individuals in Virginia. I found this fascinating.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN.
It would be even better if I pressed the right button. You talk about things that shouldn't be allowed. Eyewitness misidentification. Forensic science can be wrong. The way that the police does false confessions, isn't that just the side that an attorney would take by representing their defendant? There's nothing wrong with these things. There's no problem in the system. It's defense attorneys trying to prove that their guilty clients have wrongly been put away. There's nothing wrong with the system. It's the attorneys in the room who have a problem because their clients were found guilty.
Well, there are certainly 278 people whose names you can find on the Innocence Project website who would tell you otherwise. This has been the great accomplishment of Innocence Projects and of DNA testing, is that we know that the system is flawed. Frankly, some of us who have been practicing criminal defense law for years have known that all along, but what we now have is proof that the system, more frequently than anybody would like to admit, convicts the wrong person. The hard work that we have to do now is to reform the system to prevent these kinds of injustices, and also spend the money and spend the time to review the convictions that have already been obtained under these flawed methods. Nobody wants to see the wrong person sitting in prison, somebody who's innocent. And also, what we have to remember is that in every one of those cases where an innocent person is sitting in prison, there's a guilty person who hasn't been convicted of that crime and who could still be out on the streets. It's in everybody's interest, law enforcement, defense attorneys, prosecutors, the general public, to convict the right people. And that's exactly what we're talking about trying to do.
This obsession with the permanence of a conviction once it's reached. On the one hand, society needs to have faith that the people who are convicted of crimes are guilty, but having convicted them does not mean that they're guilty, especially when we have all this proof that there are inaccuracies in the system. So.
But aren't we supposed to believe that our judges and our jury system, that once the decision has been made, that we can have faith and go home at night that they have made a correct decision? And what we're being asked to do is to believe that they can make mistakes and maybe I'm not as safe as I thought I could be?
Well, the Innocence Project does never stand out or doesn't state, the entire system of judges and juries is flawed. We're looking at a lot of the techniques that prosecutors and police use to introduce evidence, to use the system. And they're using the system improperly and inaccurately, and that's what we're talking about.
Professor Engel, let's jump at that for a second, because one or two of the other things that are listed as problems with the system include false confessions. And that's a method used by police to convict someone. And what I gathered from Wes Bowling saying is that that's a method used that might possibly need to be discarded or certainly lessened in its accuracy.
This is another great example of what the caller was talking about, where we could introduce a cheap reform that would go a long way towards solving this problem. And the reform in this case would be videotaping all police interrogations. We don't at this time require all interrogations to be videotaped. The technology certainly exists. We can afford to do it. It's cheap. And I can't tell you the number of cases that we've worked on in which we watch partially recorded interrogations where our client, the prisoner, is maintaining their innocence for hours. Sometimes we've watched videotaped interrogations that go on for 8, 10, 12 hours sometimes of the person staunchly maintaining their innocence. And then there's a break in the tape, and they go out for a cigarette break. And when they come back and turn the tape back on, the story's changed completely, and the inmate is now admitting culpability in something that they've been denying all along. And you have to question what was in that cigarette that they were outside smoking, because some radical change has taken place here. If we required all of the interactions between police and suspects to be videotaped, we would have a better sense of what's happening in interrogations. What we know from what we have seen of interrogations is that police routinely lie to suspects or to witnesses when they're interrogating them, so they can tell people, for example, who are maintaining their innocence, we know that you're lying because we have DNA that proves that you did it, even though there's been no DNA testing done. They can hook you up to a polygraph machine, a lie detector machine, and they can say the machine tells us that you're lying, even though a polygraph examination is utterly unreliable, and half the time the machine may not even be plugged in. They're not even actually giving the polygraph examination. They're just tricking the person that they're interrogating into believing that they're conducting, that they have some machine that's telling them that they're lying. And it's surprisingly easy to overcome somebody's will when you're able to lie to them and trick them and deceive them into believing that science says that you committed this crime.
Again, the folks from the Innocence Project, we did that back in November. You've heard a handful of programs, bits from the past that they were some of my favorites. Hopefully they were some of yours. There's still time to dial up 434-979-0919, WNRN.org. Whether you call for wake-up call, whether you call for Les Temps-Perdue,
whether you call for Acoustic Sunrise, it's all going into the same great thing, which is WNRN.org, and we appreciate that. I'm going to turn it over to Les Temps-Perdue now. Ren, thank you so much for coming in.
You're welcome.
Hopefully everyone learned a little bit about the Haven and homelessness, and now you get a little bit to learn about 80s and 90s alternative music with Drew Thompson and Les Temps-Perdue. See you next week.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.